Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Matthew 7:1-2. So here we have Scripture telling us to not judge. Yet in other scriptures, we are encouraged to abound in all judgment, that we may approve all things that are excellent. Philippians 1:9. So, one scripture says not to judge, yet another scripture says we are to judge. This is Sharon Hoskins, and today Janie and I are discussing this challenging question, to judge or not to judge. Our standards become our final authority, and then that gives me the right to judge you based on my standards. But our standards come from our belief system, and our belief system starts when we're very young. And so we grow up with this, the standard being our final authority. So how do we move past that idea, allowing us to not judge people? Now, all the world seems to know Matthew 7:1.
Mm-hmm.
Judge not that you be not judged. I mean, every time a Christian stands in their faith against sin, we get that thrown in our face. So how do we respond to this if we don't understand what judgment is?
Well, we don't roll our eyes and throw our hands up in disgust. That's the first thing. Then we need to realize that this has been in making our coming to the wrong conclusion since we were infants and we were given a standard of being cared for, fed, diapers changed. We screamed and hollered, and that made a standard that if we scream and holler, we can get what we want.
We get our way.
Okay. Yes. And all so right. We go from standards that subtly build into a form of expectations.
Okay.
And some expectations are very valid. When we have children, these children do have the, if I want to use the word right, to expect their parents to care for them,
right,
not to abandon them,
uh-huh,
and certainly not to murder them, as have through the centuries and the millennial been a part of the societies. So as we get these expectations, they build a standard of thinking in our heart. And that comes from just the environment, the input, your surroundings. It doesn't necessarily come from the scriptures unless you are privileged to be brought up in a home that sets a biblical standard.
Right.
So by the time you're school age, you have decided what you need to do to manipulate and get what you want, how to survive. Some homes are so destructive that it's a matter of survival in the home, and so they know how to manipulate or deceive or lie or whatever. And that becomes a final authority because it's what works for that person.
Okay.
Or it may be what they want it to work for, and they're working to make it happen even though it's not based on truth.
Okay.
All right? So then once they have a false standard formed, then that becomes their final authority because that's who they believe they are and that's really all they know themselves to be.
Okay.
Then as they start to operate on that, there's conflict because it's not going to be the same standard as the person next door, another sibling, another relative, a school teacher, a business partner, classmate. Yes, especially classmates nowadays. In fact, that's kind of sad because this nation was founded on individualism, the right to worship and to meet. And our forefathers left another country because they were being standardized by the king and they wanted their freedom to have freedom of thought and freedom of worship. So this is an old can of worms, all
okay.
right? But now we have evolved or circled, to be a better word.
Yeah.
We have circled around now to where if you don't think my standard and I can make my standard your standard, then you're weird. Or you're wrong.
Right.
And then we start to argue, get angry, alienate, and judge.
But one of the things that I see, and maybe it's isolated incidences, but one of the things that I see is that as long as you are have the same ideas or standards as the world, then it's okay. But if you have a standard or idea that is biblical, then you're kind of being judged, which is what they're telling us not to do because the Bible says not to judge. And so I am seeing a double standard in that aspect.
Well, that I think we have a term that we can kind of recognize. I think it's called a hypocrite.
Well, and then we're called the hypocrite, but it seems to be coming from the world back this direction.
Well, because they cannot understand who we are.
Okay.
All right. We don't fit into the world mode. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, and let's see, I think I can flip over to that. In 1 Corinthians, I believe it is 2, Sharon, I didn't have that marked. It tells us that the world cannot understand the things of God,
mm-hmm.
that they are blind. It's 1 Corinthians 2, verses let's start in at verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, what you've just described to me is comparing earthly things with spiritual things, and they don't get it. And then in verse 14, he tells us why they don't get it. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So when we try to give, try is a bad word, but when we choose to explain things from a spiritual framework, which would be what we've been given in the Bible, they look at us like we're crazy. Because the spiritual is totally outside their realm of comprehension. Just like if an engineer tried to explain something to me in his world, I would look at him and go, duh. It would be off my radar for understanding. Okay. I would have to be trained and taught.
Okay.
All right. And so, but let me just finish this verse because it talks about judging, which is where we're going. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. We could say they're craziness. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual can judge all things. Oh, wow, there's that word, judge. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So the first thing we have to talk about in the cultural conflict that is in this world and that Sharon now has come about as active into the church of God today, meaning the body of Christ, mm-hmm. all churches, different denominations, but still one body, is because we're trying to make the world understand us.
Okay.
And they can't do it apart from being born again. So here we are back to, you know, right. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And we can't come into life without being brought and drawn by the Godhead.
Okay.
All right. And so
right here it says that he who is spiritual judges all things.
Okay. Then we need to go look at that word. Does that see, now we need to get an understanding of what does this word judge mean?
Oh, that would be perfect.
Okay.
Because I bet the definition in here is not the definition that is being
we're using
that we're being used.
Yeah, we'd be good to go back to Webster's and maybe get a little establishment.
Okay, so what does that word mean?
Okay.
Judge.
Well, do we have an hour and a half to start in?
Oh, well.
No, we don't. Okay, so let me give you a synopsis here quick. In the Old Testament, and I'm going to start there because that's where we are to learn by an example.
Okay.
The word judge took up three different offices of government. It took up the judicial, the legislative, and the executive.
Okay.
Three different. Okay, and that's mm-hmm. where this word judge, and I don't have the Hebrew word for it. We'll talk about the Greek word here in a little bit. But these three offices were all encompassed into one person that could do all three offices, be it a prophet, a priest, of course, or God Almighty, who is the judge of all.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Then when we talk about judging in the New Testament, these offices of the three parts of government, because the judging word is a word associated with the governmental rule.
Okay.
All right. So we have these three different offices that then have different applications and how they are to be used. So when we look at in verse 14, let's see, 15, he who is spiritual judges all things. That's going to be a word in the New Testament that has to do with to distinguish, discern, decide.
Okay.
But not for the purpose of condemnation. Now, in the Old Testament, when we are judged, we were judged by whomever the qualifiers were, and it was for the purpose of making a verdict and then executing that verdict. And one office could do it all.
Okay.
And it was, if you do not follow this standard, which at that time was the law that we're talking mm-hmm. about,
yes.
then you knew the results, condemnation. All right, if a man was caught with a woman in a immoral act, death. All right, so there was some absolutes there, and one office could execute all three judgments.
Okay.
Now, when Jesus Christ came and replaced the Old Testament law with a new law, his law, the law of love, then the purpose of judging may be for correction. It may be for some discipline. But Sharon, it's always with the idea of getting reconciliation, restoration, because Jesus Christ brought life to all who would accept it. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So the Old Testament judging had one priority. That was to find the person guilty or innocent, and if guilty, sentence, and then bring about the sentence.
So that word judge from the Old Testament is really kind of the word that everybody is using today when they say, well, we can't judge. Don't judge. It's not our place to judge. Yet Scripture right here tells us that we should be judging.
And there are certain things that as Jesus Christ representative that we should have a judging. Now, that remember, we're using uh-huh. this word in multiple meanings.
Okay.
We are to judge sin. All right. In other words, we do not tolerate sin. It was taken care of at the cross by Jesus Christ with God Almighty. So the purpose of how we are to judge is with a different heart motive. We can bounce back to 1 Samuel, where I think it's in 1 Samuel 16, and I think I'm remembering mm-hmm. correctly, where
Samuel,
thank you. Samuel was to pick out who the next king was.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, don't look on the outward appearance.
Right.
But look on the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are looking at judging in the correct mode in the New Testament, the Lord is showing us where the heart attitude needs to be. And when you go down and look in this Matthew 7, if we go down and, well, let's just turn to Matthew 7, because that's where we can okay. kind of camp out a little bit here in explaining this, because it's not your easiest ABC lesson.
Okay.
It says, judge not that you be not judged. That's pretty black and white.
Right.
For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, Sharon, there's a principle in going and making the Scripture our final authority, and that is we must look at the context of what comes before and what comes after.
All right.
All right.
All right.
So, basically, the subject before has been quit your worry and quit your anxiety, because I've got a handle on this. So, you seek to do what I have commanded you, and then you are to rest and let the judge take care of what you're to eat, what you're to wear. All right, he has, as we say in modern language, he's got your back covered.
Okay.
All right. But now go over to Judge Matthew 7, go down to verse 5. And who's he talking to, Sharon? Who is he addressing?
It says, you hypocrite.
Oh, so now he's telling the hypocrites, don't you judge. Okay. Because the hypocrite's not going to be judging with a righteous judgment. A hypocrite's an unbeliever. Now, in this company of people that he was addressing, there were some people who were just curious. They were there because they had curiosity and they had questions. The majority of the people that were in this sermonette context were the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Okay.
Who were taking the old form of judging in the way they understood it. Because remember, when Matthew 7 we read today, it was not written for anybody to go back
and make
a distinguishing.
Okay.
All right. They only had one form, and so Jesus is having to address, knowing exactly what his understanding, since he is the judge, is versus what these people were bringing forth, and they weren't bringing forth truth. And he was right there. If they had had ears to hear, Sharon, he could have explained it to them. But many times he says, I would like to tell you these things, but I can't because you're not ready to hear them. But also in this passage, Sharon, he also had some disciples here. So before we really get into the different scriptures on judging, we need to set who's being spoken to and why. So look at verse 6. He's talking to the hypocrite, and then he starts in with verse 6, and there's something else. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Well, he's not going to be telling a Pharisee or a Sadducee what is holy to the dogs, because basically they were the dogs. Nor cast your pearls before swine. So what I want to show you here is we have three different type of people that the Lord is addressing. Now you stop and think right now. At school, if someone starts to say, hey, don't judge me here, we've got many different thinkers in a school classroom who are going to be thinking from different standards from their perspective.
Right.
All right. So they're going to have to understand what the word judge means. And right now it means what is their conviction, what is their belief system. When I was in high school, we had a gal who, after school every day, she went and got an avocado and a jar of peanut butter. That was a weird standard for an after school snack.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
So I would go get peanut butter and jelly and bread. I didn't want her avocado, and she didn't want my grape jelly and bread. We see we had different standards.
Right.
And so what I saw as normal, she saw as abnormal.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. And that's what you've got in your universities. That's what you've got in your churches. That's what you've got in your high schools, and now even down to the grade school,
mm-hmm.
where we're having weird people dressed in weird outfits going into schools and libraries and teaching weird, worthless things.
I thought you were going to say worldly.
Well, I did. I think I got that in there. Worldly, worthless things. All right. The WWWs. So you can see where now the enemy is behind all of this. He is the author of confusion.
So how can we be responding when, because I think that we're cowering. I mean, when I say we, I mean Christians, I think we're cowering to this idea that we can't judge. So we have, it looks like, from my perspective, that we're kind of bowing down to the ways of the world because we don't want to be labeled based on this verse, judge not that you be not judged. We're taking that verse that is being yelled at us back when we say, no, I have a different standard. Don't judge me. You're a hypocrite. So we're cowering because we don't know how to defend our stand in Christ.
Well, that is an excellent point. And that's why the scriptures say in 1 Timothy, I'm trying to find the verse right now.
3:16?
This one is 2:15. It's study to show thyself a workman approved unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah.
So right there is your first exhortation, your first guidance on what you're to do. The Christians are cowering, am I saying that right,
cowering,
Sharon?
Yeah.
To the ways of the world due to their own ignorance, because we're not students of the word.
Okay.
And so what I'd like to do in the immediate future here with our casual, there's nothing casual about our conversation.
No. Not normally.
No. Is to go in and take this word in the Greek, which is krino, K-R-I-N-O. And okay, if anybody has a Strong's Concordance, it's number 2919.
Okay.
All right. And let's go in and look at what it means to judge, where the Lord tells us to discern or to distinguish or to discriminate right from wrong. And let's just take some time to look at the different scriptures and passages on how to apply them. Because there is...
I really think that's why we're allowing so much sin into the church. It's because we've been grilled with this phrase from the world when we try to stand that, hey, you can't judge me. You're a hater if you stand against my sin.
And who is the great deceiver?
Yeah.
All right. And so if we are not students of the word, we will be as easily deceived as the world is blind.
Well, the idea of being a hypocrite, you know, we're saying, well, you know, he was talking to hypocrites, and hypocrites, you know, we judge one person on this aspect and then we fall short over here. So we're guilty of all of it. You know, the scripture tells us that. So there's an aspect of that where we feel like that we have to be perfect in order to be in order to stand for Christ. And if we make mistakes or, you know, fall short in any way, that judgment comes back on us as being a hypocrite.
Well, you know, you said something recently about the trials that you had gone through, and one of the greatest things that you learned out of that was a contentment and a deeper trust on the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And so when we are in the Word, in John 8, it tells us that if you abide in Him and He in you, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But it's not going to all come that because we get a quick fix, because this is a growth of a whole life.
Right.
And so if we want to be able to stand against the world, they live in falsehood and blindness. The scriptures declare it all over and cannot understand.
Mm-hmm.
So if we want to be a part of helping them be set free, then we have to be grounded in our assurance, our contentment that we understand what the scriptures say. And that requires the study. And nowadays in our busy society, if we have a 5 to 10 minute devotional, that's got us covered for the day.
Well,
and that's insufficient. So what we needed probably, I'd like to really take the next few weeks and just dive into this, Sharon.
Well,
we've opened the can of worms.
That's something that you have grilled into me over and over and over, and that we've talked about on Woman to Woman many, many, many times, and that is to settle down, to not be so busy, to find our shepherd's field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to find that time alone with the Lord. To grow in Him, to study His Word, and we will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy.
And we have to realize that back in the New Testament times, 12 men changed the world.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.